All right, take your Bibles, please stay standing. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It is the sixth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Brother Barnes, page 303 in my Bible. So it's around page 300 in most Bibles. How's that sound? But Joshua chapter 3, and we are going to read the first 9 verses together. All right, here we go. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And let's finish on verse number 9 together. Ready? And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help as Grace Baptist Church hears the message today, that we would take this personally. Lord, I believe that if Jesus were here and that Jesus were filling the pulpit this morning, that he would speak these words. Pray that you just help us to get from you what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Folks, I need us to just sit up, pay attention, and listen today. I am speaking directly to our church, and for such a time as this, don't worry, nothing wrong, but I believe this will help us understand things in a little different way. The title of my sermon is this, The Kind of People That God Blesses. The Kind of People That God Blesses. Here in Joshua chapter 3, let me catch you up with what's going on. The children of Israel, the Jews, have spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt 40 years earlier. They had been slaves for a long time. God used Moses, and if you remember, that's when the plagues came, and he said, let my people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't do it, and time after time after time, and finally the death angel came, and Pharaoh kicked them out of the land, and Moses led them through the wilderness. Now, they were supposed to leave Egypt and go directly to Canaan land. By the way, that's kind of what they did when they got close enough. They sent 12 spies in, and they were mapping out the land, trying to figure out the strategy. And 10 of those 12 people came back and said, Moses, we can't do this. The land is beautiful, it's productive, it's healthy, but there's giants in the land and they'll kill us. We can't do this. And Joshua and Caleb said, doesn't matter how big they are, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. They said, let's go get it. And the people voted, and they got outvoted, and God said, okay, because you're afraid, I'm going to make you wander for 40 years, and everybody from age 20 and up is going to die in the wilderness. So for the last 40 years, they had been wandering in circles all the way around the desert wilderness there in what we would call the Sinai Peninsula. Saudi Arabia, that area is where they were. Now, I say that to say this. Here in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua, Moses is dead. Joshua is now leading the nation of Israel, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River and go in and take Jericho. Now, if you remember the story of Jericho, that's the walled city, and it was the first city to be taken. They were going to march in. God said, I want you to get up every day for 6 days in a row, and I want you to march all the way around the walls of that city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times, blow the trumpets, and when you do, watch what I do. And that's what they did, and the walls came tumbling down, if you remember the story, all right? And I'm not going to go into that, but that is right before what takes place here in Joshua chapter 3. God promised this Canaan land, the promised land to the Jews. They were his chosen people. Now, listen to this. It was due to their complacency and lack of faith that it took them 40 years to take it over. They were afraid, they were complaining, and they allowed their fear and their complacency to keep them from going in 40 years earlier. Did you realize God had an entire generation, actually 40 years worth of blessings that they were supposed to have that they never got? There was 40 years of productivity that they never got to have. They struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled for 40 years, and they did not need to. The thought of taking over this land was a formidable task. Can you imagine a bunch of slaves coming out of bondage? And God says, I want you to go conquer your new land. I can, in my flesh, understand that a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like when you leave high school or leave college and you're about to enter into a career and they say, here you go. Now you got the energy, but the moment you start, you're thinking, man, I hope I make this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a little fearful thing. Can you imagine God calling us to go conquer a country? Us just leave, follow, go somewhere, and just go conquer. You say, well, we've got a great military. I know, I'm talking about our church. Ooh, that's a whole different story, preacher. That's how they felt. They were slaves. They had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and now God wants them to take over the promised land. Now, God did this because he wanted to fight the battle for them. If you listened, or if you were here last Sunday, I preached a whole sermon on that. But he wanted to prove himself that he could defeat the enemy and that it was not the Jews doing it, but that it was God. Now, he didn't expect them to fight. He just wanted them to obey. He wanted them to move on by faith. The people were afraid. Now, I'm not saying that they were wrong for being afraid. Can I tell you what? I do a lot of things out of fear. Don't you? Brother Bob, you called me. Man, I had to walk into a hospice room with somebody dying that I did not know, had no idea what church affiliation of any kind, if any, and I just kind of walked through the door saying, this is who I am, this is who sent me, and everybody's going, huh? I'm trying to work my way through this thing, and finally it became friendly. And I looked at him, I said, if you don't need me, if you don't want me, I said, I can walk right out that door right now, be just as happy as I was when I walked in. I said, you will not offend. Oh, no, 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 we'll take the prayer, preacher. Whew. I said, sometimes I'm not sure whether to duck or pucker. That's what I said to him. They started laughing. We built a friendship, and because of that, but I'll be honest with you, for a while there, I was a little afraid. I might be afraid about 3:45 today when I go in there. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Not everything I do am I not afraid of doing. You have to understand, when you do something and you're moving forward, there's a little fear because there's a lot of unknowns. You young couples having babies. Man, you get all excited about it. You can get all excited all you want. I've had, well, my wife had three. We've had three. I don't want any more. Amen. Say why? My last one turns 18 this month. We don't need no more. If you had enough sense, if you knew at 50 or at 25 what you know at 50, you would have never had them. There ain't no way. Trust me. That's why God gives them to you when you don't have enough sense. I'm not going there, Brother Barnes. All right. Now, Bob was about ready to choke to death down here. Now, wait a minute. The Jews saw the obstacles because they were looking at the obstacles. They were not looking at God. The Jews saw the giants, but they didn't see what God had promised them. They bypassed the promises of God to see the giants and to see the obstacles. Now, they knew he could deliver them, but they weren't sure he would deliver them. Now, the Jews, God had promised to be his chosen people. They knew it. Brother Gus said something this morning in Sunday school. It was quite profound. He didn't know that that's what it was, and he doesn't even know what the word profound means. That means it was pretty smart. You got it from your wife, though, that's why. If you have ever met a full-blooded, orthodox, practicing Jew, you meet somebody who is a bit arrogant. And I'll tell you why. Because they are God's chosen people. Now, they've taken it to a level fleshly that they should not. But God blesses the nation of Israel. By the way, America needs to understand that and stay Israel's friend. I don't care what the White House says. Now, the Jews are God's promised people. They're God's chosen people. And God promised he would supernaturally bless them because of this. Now, God wanted to help them conquer the land, but they didn't want to go in. They did not see how they could do it. Can I tell you something? It's not a matter of how they do it. It's a matter of what God said to do. In churches all over this world today, you have two different types of churches. You have churches that say this is what you must do, or you have churches that say this is what God did. It's not a matter of what you must do. It's a matter of what Jesus did for you, and you accept it by faith. That is the only difference. Now, God said, if you'll just follow what I tell you to do, I can and will bless you. He said it was a land filled with milk and honey. Now, the milk part doesn't interest me, but the honey does. Sorry, Joe. I don't like milk, but I like honey. But you have to understand something. That was a term of prosperity. You don't get milk that flows without having lots of animals that give milk. You don't have honey without the production of a lot of crops. And it was a land that was very productive and very fruitful and very very wealthy in all those areas. And by the way, milk just doesn't drip out of the cow. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Brother Joe wishes it did. Here, come stand here and let it pour out, amen? It's work. How many of you have ever really milked a cow by hand, all right? Not hooked up the vacuum cleaner and sucked it out, but all right? It's not an easy task. When it says that the land was filled with milk and honey, it didn't mean that there were rivers of milk just flowing all over the place. It meant there was a lot of work going on. Brother Hiles preached a sermon years ago called Somebody Gotta Milk Them Cows, amen? And there's a lot of truth to that. It took a lot of work, but it was a very productive place. It was a very fruitful place. It was a place where God chose to bless. That's why he called it the land that is filled with milk and honey, or that flows with milk and honey. Now, look at me this way, if you will. God promised to bless these Jews there, and they were getting ready to take over this new land called Canaan. Now, he promised to bless these Jews. They were people that God said, I will bless you. Matter of fact, and I won't take you because of time, but it says, he said, I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will do these things for you. God was saying, look, if you'll just obey me, I can bless you. And today, I want to preach a sermon and I want to show you these principles that apply to us called the kind of people that God blesses. The kind of people that God blesses. Point number one. You ready? Everybody smile. Okay. You look like you're tired. It's okay. I promise you. You'll make it here. Point number one. You have to be born as one of God's children for God to bless you. You have to be born as one of God's children for God to bless you. Now, there's two ways you can receive a blessing. One is to be a Jewish raced person because they are God's chosen people. But there's also another way, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, God says ye are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And he's talking to us who get saved. Those who are the child of God, you are a chosen people by God. Can I tell you something? The world looks at Christians and said, boy, they're nuts. I didn't wake up with a headache, barfing my guts out from a hangover. I didn't wonder what I did last night because I don't remember because I was stoned out of my head. There's not one of my children laying in a bed somewhere that I beat up last night because I was drunk because I didn't know what I was doing. My wife's not missing her teeth because I beat her up because I was drunk or stoned out of my brain last night. She's missing them for other reasons. No, she's not. But it's going to be a long afternoon, isn't it? I'm going to have to do something to make up for that one. But let's face it. The world looks at us and says, you're weird. I'm thinking, have you ever seen how stupid drunks are? They are some of the weirdest people in all the world. And they say, I'm weird? I qualify. Now, wait a minute. I don't qualify to be weird. It's contrary to what the flesh may want. But boy, can I tell you something? I'm living happy. Say why? I'm one of God's chosen people. God takes extra care of his children. Now, I love all of the children here at our church. I do. I love them all. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have junior church. That's why on Sunday nights, everybody sixth grade and down can come to my office and get a sucker. And everybody sixth grade and above, I got to beat their hands out of the bucket because they want suckers too. Right, Fred? I love the children of our church. Asa, come on up here for a second. Asa's my buddy. Come on up here. He's not much to look at. Poor kid, you look just like your father. This is my buddy right here. Now, wait a minute. I love Asa. And Asa's my friend. I can't wait till Asa's bigger than his daddy. You can't wait either, can you? I can't wait to watch this young man grow up. And I love him, and I'll do things for him. Malachi, get your carcass up here for a second. This is his big brother. That's why you want to get big, because you want to beat up Malachi one day, don't you? Now, wait a minute. I love this guy right here. This is one of my work buddies. He's helped me with wood like you wouldn't believe. He was with me the day I cut my knee with my chainsaw. Malachi remembers last summer, I was cutting wood and all of a sudden I quit cutting and like this and the branch broke underneath my foot and my chainsaw hit my leg and I went, uh-oh. I put the chainsaw down, hobbled back, sat down, and it was one of those, I was afraid to look at my knee. I didn't tell you I was afraid to look at my knee, but I was afraid to look at my knee. Say, why? Have you ever hit your knee with a chainsaw? They feel no pain, but you do. So I lifted my hand, and the blood wasn't all the way to my shoe yet. And I thought, well, it can't be too awful bad. It's still attached. And I looked at it. And I looked at it again. Honest God, cross my heart, and hope Brother Stoltz dies.
I tapped my knee with that chainsaw. I took the skin and every little bit of meat that's on top of your kneecap off. I had a patch about that wide, and it never cut the bone. You say, how'd that happen? God. They were helping me get some water and things to clean it off, and of course, we're dripping wet with sweat, and I got dirt, and the chainsaw's got oil on it and dirt and everything else, so I'm trying to clean this thing out. And the boy, he and Thomas were with me, and you could tell they were a little nervous. I was doing okay. My knee was going to be fine. I called Evan. He was out there with me. He had already taken a load of wood. Careful now. He said, preacher, you need me to call 911? Are you bleeding out? I thought, boy, that was real compassion. No, I wasn't bleeding out. Now, wait a minute. I said, stink. And one of the boys said, what's the matter, preacher? I said, I just ruined my favorite pair of work pants. I mean, I had a rip in them about like that. And I don't know which one of them said, what's Mrs. Bush going to say? I said, I think she'll be okay with it. She's not worried about the britches as much as my knee. I was more worried about how am I going to drive home. But fortunately, it was this leg and not this leg. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I love these guys. I love them a lot. I'll help them. Don't take this the wrong way. But my two boys, I got one that's 24 and one that's 20. They're going to get priority if they need help. Say why? Because those are my boys. Now, wait a minute. Malachi knows when he broke his collarbone. His mom called me, and I was there. Boom. Ace has done some pretty stupid things, and will in days to come probably have stitches, broken bones, and everything else. Amen? And I'll come visit him in the hospital, too. Give his mother a sedative so that the doctors can work. Now, wait a minute. I love these guys. They're my buddies. I love the kids of our church. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. But watch me. If my son Josh calls me and says, Dad, I need something, you better know it. I'm going to be there. If Jeff calls and says, Dad, I have a need. Could you help me? That quick. If it's in my power, I'll do it. You say, why? Because those are my kids. Now, wait a minute. I love those just about as much as my own. But I have to tell you, humanly speaking, I'm going to help my kids. Aren't you? Isn't that our responsibility? Now, wait a minute. Did you realize when you get saved, you become a child of God? The Bible says when we believe, we become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Guess what? In 1971 or two, when I got saved, I bowed my head as a little 4 or 5-year-old child, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God became my Father. I became one of his children, and I've been saved ever since. You can't lose it. You say, you can't lose it? No, because you don't do anything to get it. You just accept it. And from that time on, I have been saved. Now watch this. Once you get saved, you take part in the inheritance of God. God says we get his inheritance. Do you know how rich God is? Folks, in heaven, he paved the streets with gold. Blacktop in heaven is gold plated. Matter of fact, it's solid gold. That's how little God thinks of gold. Now, if it were here, people would be scraping the streets, amen? Up in heaven, that's what God paves the road with. Good night. Dr. Rice used to say, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the 1,000 hills, and he owns all the gold and the diamonds in them hills. And he's right. And he owns that much more because he owns the whole universe. Now, wait a minute. Did you know when you got saved, you inherited all that? All of that becomes available to us. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean you can spend it now. Did you know an inheritance isn't supposed to be spent before somebody passes away? Everybody doing okay? Every once in a while, I'll see somebody's got a little sign on a vehicle, in loving memory of. In other words, they took a portion of their inheritance and bought a new car and slapped that person's name on it and said, this is what I got.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to buy a car in my dad's name memory. Say why? Because that car is going to break down. I'd rather have my dad than a stupid car any day. Now, wait a minute. God can be good to non-children, to people that are not his children, but he's going to be extra good to his children.
I love those two guys sitting right there. Malachi and Asa, I love those boys. And I'll be good to them, usually. Can I tell you something, though? I'll be extra good to my boys.
Say, why? Because they're mine. That's how God feels. Can I tell you something? If you died today and you're not sure you're going to heaven, can I tell you something? You need to trust Jesus Christ to take you to heaven so you can become a child of God and inherit everything he has. Amen. And once you're one of his, well, we're just all God's children. Not everybody is. Matter of fact, my Bible says if you're not saved, you're of your father, the devil. I didn't say it. God did. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. God did. Now, wait a minute. When God becomes your father, you're supposed to obey him. Did you know a child is supposed to obey mom and dad? I know that's a foreign concept in our world today. I was at the store the other day buying some food for men's prayer breakfast. And this lady had two children with her. The store had been turned inside out, upside down, and I mean, it was crazy. When I got into the store, I saw one of the workers, and they were going, I wished she would not bring them. I thought, what's that guy talking about? I got about two aisles over from where I went in, and I understood. There were boxes of cereal that had been ripped open and thrown all over the floor. There was kids screaming at mom. Say, what'd you do? They came down my aisle. I didn't say a word. But I learned something from my wife called the hairy eyeball. As they started coming my way, I did this. It's amazing how things went real quick till they got past me. Because all I did was look. And they calmed down till they got out of my presence. One of the workers saw it. He said, can you follow them around? I said, no, doc. I took care of my aisle while I had it. Amen? Oh, my soul. What a mess. Can I tell you something? Children are supposed to listen to mom and dad. Children are supposed to listen to authority. Children are supposed to obey teachers. Children are supposed to obey police officers. And I'm not for anybody being unkind to anybody else. But can I tell you something? We'd have a whole lot less of a mess in America today if people just start obeying authority. Period. I am not for somebody being mistreated. And by the way, I'm not for leadership that uses their leadership as a bully method either. But my daddy taught me before I started driving how to take care of myself if I ever got stopped by a police officer. I've used this before. I'll use it again. I was going hunting one day, Brother Gus. I was back in Indiana. Police officer stopped me on I-65. I was doing the posted speed limit. It just started sprinkling rain. I thought, oh, great. I have a hunting knife inside my coveralls. I got guns in the trunk, and I just got stopped by a police officer. What'd you do? My hands were on top of the steering wheel. Hit the button on my vehicle and truck or the window went down. I had another assistant pastor with me. He said, I'm only going to issue you a warning. I said, may I ask what for? I said, was I speeding? He said, no, you're doing the speed limit. I'm just trying to slow traffic down because it's starting to rain. I'm the only person that can get stopped for doing the speed limit. But I did. He said, do you have your license and registration? I said, my registration's right here. I said, sir, my license is inside my coveralls in my pants pocket on my back left hip. I said, but I have a hunting knife on my front right hip. And I said, I'm not moving my hand, so you tell me what you want me to do, sir. He said, can you get to your wallet without... I said, I can, but I need to stand up and unzip this outside. He said, it's okay. I said, do you want me to take the knife off? He said, anybody willing, tell me what you've told me. We're okay. Just don't go to the right side. I said, don't worry, sir. I got out of the car, reached through, grabbed my wallet, handed to him. We sat in his car for a while. Why? To slow traffic down, the rubberneckers. I'm telling you what. I said, do you need to go through my car? I said, I got guns in the trunk. All the guns and ammo are in the trunk. He said, nope, we're good. He said, I'm just writing a written warning to slow traffic down. That's all I'm doing. He said, this isn't going to mean nothing. It won't show up anywhere. I'm just trying to slow things down. I thought, you just wasted 15 minutes of hunting. But I didn't say anything. I was respectful. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really appreciate getting stopped for doing the speed limit. But can I tell you something? He was doing his job. I tried to treat him with respect. And guess what? He accepted that and treated me with respect. Not everybody's always that way. I understand that. But I did respect him, and it came back my direction. Now, we need to obey God for God to bless us as his children. When your children are in disobedience, it's not time to reward them. And when God's children are disobeying, he's not going to reward you with blessings. Number two. So number one, you have to be born as his child for him to bless you. Number two, God blesses those who follow his word. God blesses those that follow his word. By the way, if you looked at verse number four, we won't look at it right now, but in verse number four, it talked about the Ark of the Covenant going before them. In the Ark of the Covenant were the two tables of stone on which God took his finger and wrote part of the Bible. And they were to follow the word of God into the promised land. That Ark of the Covenant contained the words of God. Can I tell you something? Inside the pages of that book right there are the words of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an everywhere Bible somewhere, or man cannot live. It's in the King James Bible for the English speaking people. Man has tried to rewrite it. We don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread it. We need to relive it. We don't need to change it. We've got to live by what God said. We don't need to interpret it and give man's slant to it. God said what he meant and meant what he said. Can I tell you something? Emotions and feelings are not to be trusted. God's words are. Let me say that again. Well, just do what your heart tells you to do. My heart told me to do a lot of things I shouldn't do. Not a matter of what my heart says do, it's a matter of what God's word says do. God said we're not supposed to trust our emotions. Miss Kim, I'm going to tell on you. I saw Miss Kim out in the parking lot this morning. And then I opened up the door and I thought, she's going to come around the car this side. All of a sudden, she walked up behind me. It's a good thing I had good peripheral vision, because she would have scared the bejeebers out of me. You say, what are bejeebers? That's a Greek word. She just about startled me. Now, wait a minute. You say, what is that? My mother would tell you that's retribution for all the times I've scared her. But can I tell you something? If I would have trusted my feelings, it wouldn't have been the same. Can I tell you something? There was a song, years ago I learned, just a little chorus. I'd rather trust in God than trust in my own feelings. I'd rather trust his word than count on my own feelings. The word of God will never fail, but feelings, they get rearranged. I'd rather trust in God than try trusting in feelings. These emotion-based churches, if you don't have the right music, you don't have the spirit. Can I tell you something? You can play all the music you want and not have the spirit of God. It'll make your flesh tickle, but it's not going to bring the spirit of God. You can conjure up a feeling anytime. That doesn't mean just because you felt something that you have the spirit of God. God said, you obey me, that's how you get it. You just follow what he said, that's all you need to worry about. So emotions are not to be trusted. God's word is to be trusted. God cannot bless those who disobey that book. How could God bless you if you're disobeying what he told you to do? And I'm not being unkind. But folks, when America expects God to bless them, and we've kicked God out of our schools, we've kicked God out of our government, and now if you follow God, you're the wrong thing, something's wrong in America. We used to sing, God bless America, land that I love. Now if you sing that, you've offended too many people. I saw a sign one time, a long time ago, it says, it's not God bless America, it's America, it's time to bless God. It's time we acknowledge him and follow what he tells us to do. God cannot bless your life if you're living in disobedience. Boy, that's a good statement. God's words are pure. They're perfect and they're always right. That's why man does not like the Bible. Man does not like the Bible because from the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, Satan convinced man, you can be your own God and decide what's right and wrong. Everybody doing okay? Man does not want to acknowledge God because then he has to acknowledge he needs a Savior and that he is a sinner. Can I tell you something? All of us are sinners. This guy standing behind this pulpit is as much of a sinner as you are. I am no better than anybody else. I don't care if you get a $500,000 grapefruit and put it on your head and call yourself El Papa, you're still a sinner. Yes, sir. I don't care if you keep all of the 10 commandments. There's more than 10 in the Bible, just so you know. I don't care if you read the Bible 20 hours a day, pray the other 4 hours a day, fast 360 days a year. I don't care what you do, those things don't make you holy or spiritual. Obeying God does.
Yes, sir.
Amen. See, the Jews followed the word of God to the Jordan River when the Bible says as soon as the priests started to step their foot into the Jordan River parted open and they crossed over on dry ground. They didn't know how to get across. They crossed the Red Sea the same way. God said, I'll prove it to you again. I parted the Red Sea. The Jordan River is not real wide. I can get you through that in a hurry. And as long as they followed the word of God, they couldn't see what was ahead or how God was going to do it. But as long as they were following the word of God, everything worked out. Can I tell you something? As long as you follow this book, your life will eventually work out. Promise you. Now, wait a minute. These people lost family members in the wilderness. They had people die. It didn't mean everything was rosy for 40 years. And as they followed the word of God, though, God was able to bless them. America and churches in America and Christians in America are messed up today because they've gone away from following the word of God to following man's method of religion. You're looking at an old-fashioned, fundamental, hellfire, damnation, King James Bible-only Baptist preacher. Somebody recently said that to me. They thought they were criticizing me. I said, thank you. They said, I didn't mean it as a compliment. I said, too late. Took it that way. Well, you're just so old-fashioned. I said, thank you. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to obey the Bible. Doesn't matter what man says. I'll be honest with you. I don't like everything I got to do in that book either. It goes against my flesh. Can I tell you something? Every time I do it and God blesses it, the more I want to do it.
That's right.
Folks, everybody look at me for a minute. We're supposed to go out and tell lost people how to get saved. We're supposed to knock on doors, tell others about how to get saved. I've said it hundreds of times in this pulpit. My flesh, by the way, I've been soul winning for 35 years. I have knocked on well over 1 million doors in my life. Can I tell you something? When I knock on a door, my first thought, man, I hope they're not home. You say, why? Because I don't know who they are.
I'm not sure if I want to talk to him. But something happens. In my obedience to go, the door pops open, and I go, I'm Pastor Bush at Grace Baptist Church. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit kicks in, and it's a whole lot easier. But for about 5 seconds before then, from the time I'm going, I'm thinking, man, I hope they don't answer. You say, you're a preacher. Yeah, that's not trust in feelings. I'm obeying. I'm obeying. You know, after you get saved, you're supposed to get baptized. Baptism doesn't take anybody to heaven. If I take my wedding ring off, I'm still married, aren't I?
Yes.
People know I'm married because I wear that ring. I wear that ring so that that little lady right there on the second row, not only does she know she belongs to me, but every other woman in the world looks at that and says, he's taken. That's what it's for. Baptism's just like that. It doesn't take you to heaven, but it lets everybody else know you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. You can go to heaven without it, but you're not obeying. God tells you to obey. Everybody understand that? It's real simple. You say, can you explain theologically? I could, but I can't tell you that you'll understand it, and I don't think I understand it fully. And I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. For 35 years, I've been preaching. I can't understand it all, but I'll tell you this. I know after people obey God in their baptism, growing in the Christian life gets a little easier. I don't understand it all. But I know this. When I was a kid, if my dad gave me something to do, life was a whole lot easier if I just obeyed. Here's how it worked at my house. Son, you need to do this. Now, you have one of two choices. You can do this and get it over with, or you can get spanked and do this. You choose. Do it with or without the spanking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Didn't take me real long to learn. Do it without the swats. Amen? Say why? Because either way, I still had to do it. And my dad said, a lazy man does it right the first time. He said, you slack through it, you're going to have to work twice as hard because you're going to go back through and do it again. Now, that took a little longer to learn, but I have learned that. Wait a minute. You need to obey the Bible. Number three, and these next 2 points will go very quickly. God blesses those who do not get ahead of him. God blesses people who do not try to get ahead of God. Did you know we humans are real good at telling God how he's supposed to lead us? God, I'll do this if you'll do that. Now, wait a minute. Who are you to tell God how to do something? I'll make a deal with you. You do this for me, then I'll do that. Wait a minute. You're leading God. Everybody doing okay? We're not supposed to get ahead of God. Notice in Joshua chapter 3, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests went first. And they were to follow God. Don't try to get ahead of God. Young people, listen to the preacher for a minute. Don't start dating too soon in life. Wait. Wait till you're old enough. Wait till you're college age. High school dating and all that kind of mess is only going to mess you up even worse. Don't rush it. When you do it God's way, everything works out for the best. Everybody doing all right? Trying to help you here. Sin was man getting ahead of God and deciding he knew better than God. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, God told man what not to do. Everything else was his to do. Man decided he didn't have to listen to God. He could do it, and then he would be as smart and as intelligent as God. Now, that is what we call humanism. Humanism is man being his own God. And man telling God what happened. That's why people believe in evolution. They don't want to believe in God. You can't believe in both, just so you know. You didn't come from a monkey. God made you. Everybody doing okay? Humanism is man being God and not following God. We must be willing to follow God by faith and trust he knows best. How many of you have ever done something really, really, really stupid and hurt somebody? Maybe even yourself. Raise your hand. All right. The rest of you are lying. we've all done that. Can I tell you something? Man makes a pretty bad God. The world better be glad that I am not God. I'm glad I'm not God. I'd have wiped this thing out a long time ago. I'd have messed it up. Say why? Because I'm a sinner. Well, I just don't understand everything about God. Why do you want to understand? God didn't tell you to understand him. He said, trust him. He said, follow him. I didn't understand at Asa's age what my dad knew as a probably 30, 35-year-old man. Once I hit 30, 35 and had children that age, I understood why my dad said what he said. Why should a kid have to go through the door and shut the door every time? Just because it's 15 degrees outside? Son, I'm not paying to heat the outside. Shut the stupid door. You weren't born in a barn. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, when I had to start paying them heating bills, I found out why my dad said that. I didn't have the understanding at that age that I had at this age. That's why I said a little while ago. That's why God gives you children when you're young, because when you get my age, you'd have never had them. You wise up. Now, wait a minute. Some of us do. God says we're to sanctify ourselves. That word sanctify means set apart. I'm going to make a statement here. My dad made this pulpit for me 3 years ago, October. That piece of wood is just that. It's wood. Came from the mill. Same mill that wood was used to build houses. Could have been used to build anything. Furniture, you name it. But my dad worked it into a configuration so that it is the pulpit for the preaching of the Word of God. Now watch this. This pulpit is not holy, but it is sanctified. It's set apart for a special use. This piece of wood is all it is. You can break it up, throw it in the fire, and it'll burn just like my firewood. But it's set apart for a special use. That's why I'm very cautious who speaks from behind it. Somebody's not going to get up here and use the wrong Bible to preach from. Why? Because this pulpit's sanctified. It's set apart for the preaching of the real Word of God, not some man's opinion of it. That's why we'll be careful what music is sung from behind this pulpit, because it's going to be God's music, not man's music. Everybody doing all right? It's not that this piece of wood is holy. It's not. It's a piece of wood. But can I tell you something? It's been set apart. God said that his children are to set themselves apart. Now watch this. That means we're not to be like the world. I'm not criticizing anybody, but church isn't supposed to be a place that's an alternative to the world and looks like the world, sounds like the world, and acts like the world. Be a cold day where the booger man lives. Before we remove the pulpit, I sit down in a turtleneck sweater and sit there and teach you the Word of God. Say why? Because I'm not supposed to be like the world. We're not going to have worldly music and add Christian words to it and call it contemporary Christian rock music. That's like saying that you have a non-stinky skunk. That's like saying you have a dark light. It doesn't happen. Everybody doing okay? Did you know we're not supposed to look like denominationalists that don't teach the right book? We're supposed to be away from modernism, and I've got to hurry. So, number one, you have to be his child for him to bless you. God blesses those who follow his words. Number three, God blesses those who do not get ahead of him. Can I tell you something? Please do not get ahead of God in any part of your life. Number four, and I'm done. Four. Finger stuck. Number four. And please, accept the humility by which this will be said. But God blesses those who follow God's man. I am not lifting myself up. I promise you. But any man of God that proclaims that book pure
and holy and right is worthy of listening to what he says and doing what the Bible says. Period. This is not a comfortable point of the sermon for me. I argued with God this week about even saying it, but it needs said. If you notice, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God." And the people followed Joshua, the man of God. Can I tell you something? They followed the man of God. The man of God proclaiming the word of God is allowing God to speak through him. Some of you need to get the man of God's advice before you make decisions. Harry and Kathy and I were talking not long ago, and they had a decision to make. And I respected it. They say, "Preacher, what do you think?" And I said, "I really think this is what you should do." And by the way, I didn't tell them they had to. By the way, the real man of God won't go against what that book says. I'm not going to give you advice contrary to that book, whether it profits or hurts me, just so you know. We're going to do what the Bible says, doesn't matter what else. Everybody doing okay? That's why you need to be faithful to church. Being faithful to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, hearing the preaching of the Bible from the man of God, it'll help you. Tammy and Ron recently, they had a decision to make, and Brother Ron contacted me and said, "Preacher, what do you think?" I was happy for him. I said, "Look, I think this is a good opportunity. I think you ought to do it." Say, "Well, I already know what you're going to say." No, you don't. You didn't ask me. I have people tell me all the time, "Well, I didn't come see you because I already know what you're going to say." At that point in time, it doesn't matter. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not asking to be God. You say, "Why?" Because I make a pretty bad God. I want control of nobody's life. None. I'd like to protect you. I'd like to show you what God says about certain things. I'd like to help guide you so that you have a long, productive, fruitful ability to serve your family and to live a good, productive life for God, and I'll help you. I'm not here to hurt you financially. You're not looking at a preacher that sits down with the old people of the church and say, "Okay, sign your life savings away to the church." Never do that. I don't even advise it. I don't ask people to do anything outside the bounds of that book right there. Are you doing okay? You say, "Why?" I'm not here to control anybody's life. Some young man from the college called me this week and wanted to ask my daughter to the Christmas banquet. He finally got the courage up to call me. Say, "What'd you do? I bet you gave him the grilling of his life." No. I let him talk a while. Let him ask the questions he wanted. I asked him a few questions. About 20 minutes later, I was done talking. He was done talking. I said, "Okay, Doc, if you need something, let me know." I said, I do have one more question." I knew he did. It was kind of fun, Brother Gus. And by the way, I knew he was going to call me. Say, "What'd you do? Did you give him an answer right away?" Yeah, my answer was, "Give me 24 hours to pray about it, because I told the Lord a long time ago I would. And let me talk to his mother, or to her mother, his mother, her mother. And I said, I'll get back with you tomorrow." I didn't give him an answer right away. He said, "You're cruel." No, I think that's the right thing to do. I called him back the next day. And I gave permission. But that doesn't mean she's dating. And I said, "My daughter and her mother and I, we made a promise that she's not going to date her first year of college. She's not even 18 till the end of this month." I said, "If you'll just give me another year, if the Lord wants it to work out with you two, it will. And you'll have a better wife if that's who God wants you to marry. And if not, you'll know, and it's okay." I said, "It's not because of who you are. It's because of what's right." I said, "I'm not trying to control. I'm trying to protect. I'm trying to protect her. By the way, I'm trying to protect him." Yes. This morning, early, I texted my daughter-in-law. And I said, "Ruth Ann, I am so glad God put you in our family." I said, "You are as much a part of our family as Mindy and Jeff and Josh." I said, "I cannot picture my family without you." I love my daughter-in-law as though she is my own daughter. She said, Dad, I never thought it could ever be this good, but I'm as comfortable with you and Mom as I am my own dad and mom. Thank you. I'm so proud of them. By the way, that's called protection. Everybody doing all right? I'm nothing much. I'm a sinner like you are. I've dedicated my whole life to that book, to preaching, to the ministry of God's work, and I think I know a little bit about more about life than most people. I really do. I think I can help people when they're confused. Say why? Because I know what that book says, and all of a sudden it just kicks in gear, and I know which gear to put it in. That's what my job has been my whole life. And if you'll just follow what the man of God says. Now, listen to me carefully. Our church is transitioning. Signs out front. We're open. But in the next year, we have to make some decisions about this building. We're not going to finance this building and it be right. We're going to have to do some things. Okay? We're going to have to buy some property and put a building on it. I'm not talking about going millions of dollars in debt. We're not building a cathedral, just so you know. We'll build something comfortable. I don't know what, don't know where, but we're going to stay in this area. No, we've not broken ground. I said that earlier. Okay? I've had two people call me and say, hey, I heard you guys broke ground already. I said, good, where? I'd like to know. I said, who's paying for it? He said, they did? Yeah, they have. Now, wait a minute. We'll bring things to you. We'll all talk about it. We'll vote on it. We'll get going. And I promise you, we're going to do it right. You say, are you afraid? A little bit, but no more than ever before. I'm always a little afraid of the unknown, but there's something exciting about the unknown too. You're going to have to sometimes just lock in and follow. Here's what I want. I want God to give Grace Baptist Church and the people of Grace Baptist Church the ability to be blessable. 44 out of 45 weeks in the year of 2015, God has given Grace Baptist Church visitors. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of people saved. We've seen lives changed. We've seen people baptized. We've seen God add people to our church. We've seen people join us. We've seen heartache. We've seen sorrow. We've seen folks leave. That's church. Okay? But can I tell you something? I want to stay blessable. I want to stay blessable. How about you? I want God, not because I get things. The things don't mean anything to me. I just want the relationship with Him. I want the relationship to be close enough to where God trusts me with it so I can help somebody else. It's Bob calling me at 10 o'clock on Monday night. Preacher, so-and-so's dying. Could you go visit him for me? Whew, Bob, you blessed me. There'll be people get saved over it. He was truly concerned about people being saved. That excites me. It's 12:30 Friday night. My phone rang, and it was my sister-in-law with a heartache. And then get up at 4 o'clock yesterday morning and be here and get to do all the things I got to do yesterday. And I got to bed about 10:15, 10:30 last night, woke up at 11:45. Man, I hate when that happens. I said, oh, going to be a long night. Finally, by about 3 o'clock, I had slept for a couple hours in between then. By 3 o'clock, I stayed up from 3 o'clock on praying, got up at about 4:15, 4:20. I was here at the church by 5 this morning. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm having the time of my life. I've prayed for every person in this room, including our visitors, even though I didn't know what their names were. Say, what was that? I want God to bless our people. Neil and Jesse. She was so excited. She texted me this week, preacher, preacher, preacher. God gave them a blessing this week. I can't tell you how much. I was in my car driving. I had a shouting spell in my car the rest of the way back. See, it wasn't a huge, huge thing to you, but it was a blessing. And I said, God, thank you for blessing them. Thank you. Can I tell you something? That's what I want. It's not the things. It's for us to be blessable by God. when I look to God and say, God, it's me, I want him to say, I know it's you, Craig. I know it's you. You and I talk a lot. Whew, that's what I want. How about you? Wouldn't you like to be blessable by God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher? And I'd ask everybody to give everybody the privacy they deserve. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I'll not call you out any more than I just called those a moment ago. But is there one here that would say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. Somebody else. All right. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, you just step out. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know. And I mean literally within a matter of just moments, you can know. Who'd say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized, and I need to care for that one of these days. Would you raise your hand? All right. There's others. Maybe you've been saved and baptized. You would like to join our church. You can. You can. Maybe you just need to decide. Who would say, preacher, something in that sermon is what I needed today, and I need to live my life so God can bless me and God can bless my family. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Hands all over, almost every hand. Let's just decide we're going to be the kind of people that God can bless.